Radio. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. You're listening to Glenn Coble on A Progressive Life, and we're going to be joined by Dr. Feynman. Dr. Feynman, did I get a hold of you finally?
Yes, you did.
Wait, for some reason or other, I cut you off. Our ringing on our phone quit working, so I didn't know you were on at first.
Well, what happened is after 10 rings, it said call back or whatever.
Oh,
so
okay.
I called back right away, and I got connected.
Yeah, and I had seen you, and I tried to connect you, but I couldn't get through. Florida is a hard place to get through to. Your governor doesn't allow you to be talking.
Oh, my God, our governor and the Texas governor. I think they should be prosecuted for what they're doing. I really believe that, you know.
Hey, what do you think? We had people on earlier talking about electric cars. And, you know,
yes, that's the future, I think, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, we had a guy kind of semi-complaining that it was a way that government was going to make a lot of money. I'm not so certain it's a way the government's going to, but the government's not going to do it for free. They're going to use their taxes from...
That's what we pay money for, to have new technology.
Well, we're going to lose taxing on gas, so how do they get around that?
I have no clue. I'm not an expert on that kind of thing. But honestly, oil and coal are deadly, and they're killing the planet.
Yeah, and that's really what this, and that's one of the first things that I thought we'd talk about, the infrastructure bill, as well as the Build Back Better bill. That's such a mess. I don't even watch my news shows anymore because I'm so frustrated.
So am I, because cinema and and Manchin are really not Democrats, but we can't repudiate them, because if they were to say, okay, we'll become Republicans, that's not going to help.
No, that will...
They really are not considering the public good, and they're only worried about themselves, as if either one of them, if they didn't keep their seats, it would somehow be in trouble. They would not be in trouble. They have enough money. They have enough assets. It's not like they should do things for what's right, not just for what people want them to do from those powerful corporations.
Do you think... politicians, now I know where I stood when I was running for office, but do you think the majority of politicians get into it to do the right thing and stay in it to do the right thing? Or do you think they go into it for the right thing and then find out, ooh, I can get rich here? You think that's
I think a lot of it is the second. They come in with the right goals, but I think then they get tempted and then they make the job something to get rich on when it should not be that. But then, of course, we also have the reality, unless you have quite a bit of money and a lot of powerful supporters, you can't get elected in many cases.
Yeah, which...
It's a double-edged sword, you know?
I think we ought to find a way so that you don't have to be, you don't have to have money to run for office. I think we could do it we have public television and public radio. We could allow them to do, a certain number of ads on that, or maybe just require that they not spend more than X number of dollars on advertising.
But that's another industry in itself, the advertising industry.
Yeah, that's true.
It's too dominant, and so is the pharmaceutical industry, so that's why we can't get the ability to have managing of medication prices, which is one of the goals of the social infrastructure.
Well, one of the things a lot of people don't realize, and I've been in radio a long time, and I think it still holds true, that you are required as a radio station, and I think as a television station, to give the very bottom price, advertised price, to a politician. So if your rate card says it'll cost $150 a minute down to $60 a minute, you have to give them a rate of $60 even if they're only running one spot.
I didn't know that.
Yes, somebody involved in politics got that passed. there are a lot of... I'm not going to call them shady things, but there are a lot of things that we could question about advertising and how it has a relationship to politics.
Well, also the issue of lying, how much lying goes on Max TV and on OAN and also on Fox News. There's such lying going on, and they get rich on it.
And why don't we seem not to be able to muster the guts to say that's a lie. We say, well, that might be a mistruth, or it might be
misdirected. Well, actually, two people saying it's a lie, but
there's no
accountability for what Tucker Carlson does or others. You know, it's just, and they're getting rich on it, and they're promoting white supremacy, people like Tucker Carlson. It's just terrible, you know. And so many people believe what they hear because they think Fox News is like a religion.
Yeah, and now I mentioned this earlier on our show, that I do listen to Fox News about 15 minutes. That's about all I can take.
Well, usually what I will do is sometimes watch on Sunday morning with Chris Wallace, who's very decent.
Yeah.
And when, I forgot his name, there was the one guy that left Fox that in the middle of the day, Shepard Smith was quite good. He was very very objective. Mm-hmm. And that was good. But then he quit. He left and he complained about it. But as far as at nighttime, I've watched occasionally for a few minutes with Tucker Carlson, and I get aggravated and I switch channels because he's lying all the time.
He
gets enriched on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't watch that sort of thing.
And he might even run for president. There's theories that he could be thinking of running. Probably not, but, you know, imagine if he was to be the nominee because he's a radio star and a TV star, you know.
Much like our former president. He was a radio and TV
star.
Yes,
I don't know. It's just,
Why do we not share the same list of facts? Both Republican, Democrat, conservative, non-conservative. Why do we find alternate facts? How can you possibly justify?
Well, Kellyanne Clarkson said that they were alternative facts, and that's bull.
How can you justify?
There's falsehoods.
How can you justify that in your mind? You know it's a lie, don't you? Or have they rationalized?
I don't think a lot of people have any ethics. Obviously, they don't care. Everything is money.
Yeah,
Bishop of money.
Yeah, but you know, the guys, I can see a guy sitting around Marion right now in front of TV in his woolly whitey tighties, listening to that, and he doesn't have any money. He's not making any money from supporting that. Why does that type of person allow himself to be lied to? I just don't understand.
Well, a lot of these people are poorly educated, and they grow up with with the idea that certain words are dangerous. Socialism, people generalize what socialism is, think it's communism, think it's Marxism, think it's liberalism or progressivism. They don't have an education in the terminology of politics, and they just believe what they want to believe, and they don't want to hear anybody who tells you otherwise.
When I was a young man, we had a professor, an English professor, that required that we do, I think it was, you had to have 100 isms. You had to look up, log in, and look up and write down the definition of an ism. And that really enlightened my former life. I was able to know what an ism was. Communism, socialism, they're different than what the general public thinks they are.
Completely. And Karl Marx never would have endorsed the Soviet Union or the People's Republic of China. He did not believe in that, but they distorted him, the Russians and the Chinese and the Cubans and others.
Yeah.
So there's different communism. The Marx idea, which includes, which I've said before to you, that religion is the opiate of the masses, which I think is true. But the point is that Marx was not around to see what came of it, and people can distort what people write and make it out to be something that he never intended.
Yeah, now, we had a gentleman on this morning. It was a very touching show Scott had on. He had a local minister whose wife has passed away from COVID, and she had her shots. So and I looked it up, and that's less than 0.1% of the
population. And how do they know it was actually COVID that killed her? Are they sure of that?
I guess they're sure.
I guess there's no 100% guarantee, but certainly it's very rare.
Right.
So what did he have to say about the vaccine? I'm sorry to hear that. My condolences to him.
He didn't really talk about the vaccine. He was just talking about how you cope with that type of thing. And my thought was, and I told Scott when I got in, we weren't on the air, but I told him, that's why I like religion. I think people need religion if that's what you need to get yourself through the day. Religion has been, as Marx said, I think it was Marx, the opiate of the masses.
Yes.
Opiate makes you feel good.
Yes, that's the good part. But unfortunately, some people go beyond just feeling good, and they start comparing themselves to people who are Muslims or Jews or Catholics because they don't think Catholicism is Christianity when it started as that, or Hindu. So that's the part. That's the bad part when people think their religion, as they see it, is the only exclusive, correct kind of religion. That's what promotes bloodshed and war.
Last week, I did... on the Thursday show that I do, I talked about, I had been asked by several people, why was I an atheist? So I went through all sorts of stuff about why I was an atheist, and I don't believe that atheism is right for everybody. I think being a Methodist was really good for me. I liked being a Methodist. But I thought through things, and that's why I switched over. I really never had a switching point. I just grew into what I am.
Well, just like with me, I was born Jewish and now religious, and I like Judaism. I'm now repudiating it, but I'm cynical about it and less and less interested in attending services.
But
it doesn't mean I'm denying I'm Jewish, and I know when I had my heart surgery, in my head I say, God, I'm not going to leave. I'm sorry. So I brought up God in my head.
Well, and I'm absolutely certain you find good in being Jewish, right?
Yes.
There are things that you do, and it helps you.
Yes.
And
I also see good in other people's religions.
Yes.
I don't say I'm better or I'm the only one that's decent in my religion. I see all religions as long as they practice the good stuff of the religion. I support it, but when they promote hate and bloodshed and violence and racism and all that I do not like.
Yeah. I'm with you there. And that's what we talked about in that show. And I was absolutely stunned when I got in the 2 hours, hour and 30 minutes, whatever it is, in that time period when I was doing that show, I got 4 phone calls, and I hadn't given out the phone number. And I got 4 people that called in to tell me how much they appreciated what I was saying. And they all sounded like older white men. I almost fell off my chair that people... being a liberal here in Marion, Ohio, with less than 50% of the population in Marion, Ohio being liberal, I really assumed that all the old white men here in town were the people that hated me, and they weren't, and I loved it. I loved getting those phone calls. And
that's great.
One of the gentlemen called into the show today, and... thanked me for on the air for doing
oh,
for
that's
doing
great.
That.
Wonderful.
And I appreciate that. I'm still a little bit shocked. I think Scott was shocked.
You never know what people are listening, which people are listening, and how they react.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's,
I wanted to mention that when I've taught about religion in history classes over the years, I've always brought up the idea. I mentioned I'm Jewish, and I say, I think one time a student asked me, if you couldn't be Jewish and you had to be a religion, what would you pick? And I said, Quaker or Unitarian is my alternatives.
Now, my early family was Quaker.
I always thought the Quakers are a special group, and Unitarians are Christians, but not too much.
Yes.
I always like those two the most,
Well, now, when we were in Athens, I was a Methodist because we had a terrific minister who, by the way, happens to live here in Marion, Reverend Kiger, and... we had it, and I went to that. But there, they had a terrific Unitarian church as well, and we went to it a couple times, and I found it very comforting.
Yes.
I like that Unitarian style.
I've been in one, and also a Quaker meeting house. I really find it very appealing,
I've never been to a Quaker meeting house or anything Quaker at all. Now, my daughter-in-law is Mennonite, and...
That's close to being Quaker, right? It's similar.
Yeah, Yes and no, but there are all sorts of versions of Mennonites. There are the Mennonites who still ride horses and buggies, and then there are the Mennonites, like my daughter-in-law. It's Columbus Mennonite Church, and it's very liberal. All the Mennonites are anti-war, I think.
But the Quakers are, yeah.
Yeah, and they're similar that way.
And the Quakers were the first group to be anti-slavery.
Is that right?
That's what I liked about it, too.
That's kind of cool, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, all religions are good for you if they're good for you. Being an atheist is good for you if it's good for you.
Yes, I wanted to mention that famous atheist is Ron Reagan Jr.
Yes, he's made a name for himself on TV.
I love those commercials in which he speaks, he's not worried about going to hell.
Yeah. And, you know, those of us who are of that religion aren't worried about going to hell.
You say a hell. I don't want to believe there's a hell.
I don't either.
But I think you and I have led good lives. We're not going to hell anyway.
Well, I keep... When some of my family is concerned that Dad is an atheist, I say, well, you'd name a time that I've ever done anybody wrong, and if God wants to send me to hell for being nice to everybody or being fair to everybody, then I don't really want to be that type with that type of God. And I can't imagine that that would be true. So anyway.
No, we're not perfect people, but as long as we don't set out to harm or hurt other people, that makes us good people, is the way I look at it. We're not perfect, but we also can also apologize if something has been said or done that we maybe shouldn't have said or done.
Sure.
But then there are people like Donald Trump, who I think should go to hell, because really the man is obscene in his constant behavior, what he says and what he does.
Well, I don't think in my religion, he won't go to hell, because there is no hell. So,
but he's not an atheist, so I don't know what he is. He's really not a Christian in a full sense. It's just unbelievable how the evangelical right-wingers can accept him. I just don't get it.
He's a hedonist. He's a self-worshipper and a self-ingrandizer.
Yeah, I also find it interesting that this past week or so, he made the point that he thought he would likely run in 2024 unless God intervenes and tells him he shouldn't or can't. So I think he's saying he realizes one day he's going to pass away and God might stop him, but otherwise he does seem to plan to run.
Maybe I'll get my best God voice out and send him a message and pretend like I'm God and tell him not to run. Anyway, I wanted to, you know, we're having all sorts of talks, even beyond the bills.
Hope something happens.
This year, this week is going to be crazy. What are we going to do about the debt ceiling?
We need a physical infrastructure bill no matter what.
Yeah.
We also need at least most of the $3.5 trillion. I wish they would say, even though it's not enough, $2.5 trillion or something like that. But we have no idea what Sinema and what Manchin are going to say. But I am progressive, but I don't want to see the physical infrastructure bill be destroyed, because we still need that, but it's a first step. So I don't know. The Democrats might just hurt themselves in the process if they don't get both done in some form.
What do you think of Pelosi saying maybe we ought to go ahead and get the smaller one done and then worry about the bigger one later? She kind of implied that.
Well, it'd be good, but the progressives are not willing to go along with that, the progressive leaders, and there's such a tight vote, so I don't know what's going to happen. It's supposed to be resolved tomorrow, but I don't know. We'll have to see by next week what's occurred, but it could end up everything fails, and that's going to harm the Democrats and harm Joe Biden and the midterm elections.
And American. It's going to hurt Americans.
Yes, and it's going to hurt everyone, because we need some of both, certainly the bridges and tunnels and the airports and everything else. But we also do need work on child care, elder care, I'm modifying Medicare to cover more things like eyes and hearing and dental, and so many other things that are mentioned in the social infrastructure bill.
I think if I were there, my choice would be to get the best bill you can get, cut back maybe on things that you can cut back on, if there are anything that you can cut
back. Not easily when you look at the long list, but maybe spend less on each.
That's what I'm saying.
You're not going to accomplish as much as was desired. But actually, Sanders wanted $6 trillion, not $3.5 trillion.
Yeah, I understand that.
It's already been cut back,
Well, and I think it'll hurt if the bill is written right and written with without, you know, what are those things called, where they give things to different states because just because you got somebody important. What is that called?
Yeah, but that's hard to do. Like New Jersey, New York, California want to have people able to collect, you know, be able to save on taxes on their properties, which now they're being penalized somewhat. So it's so many different factors, so many different districts in the House, and everybody sees things from their own perspective. It's a real nightmare situation. It needs to work out somehow close to what is being promoted.
I think they need to at least consider squeezing the Build Back Better, squeezing anything that can be squeezed out of it, and still give all the stuff that...
Yeah, there was less on each, but it's all covered somewhat, and then hopefully, if they could, which they're going to have a problem with winning more seats in 2022, they could do new in 2023, new legislation, but they also may not even be in control. Can you imagine Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell being the House and Senate leaders?
I may go to Canada.
Yes.
Because I like the way they voted this last time.
Yeah, he didn't become he didn't have a majority, but he did stay as the prime minister.
Yeah, he did. Now, I can remember being in business, being in athletics, being in all the different fields that I've been in, where budgets come down, and I've had bosses say to me, I don't care where you cut, but you need to cut 10%. And you go back in and you look, well, we really don't have to have that. I'll cut that out. And you find
out. If you cut 10% on $3.5 trillion, that would make it about $3 to $3.2 trillion. So that's close.
I can buy that.
Yeah.
And I think that Sinema and Manchin should be able to find, at least give the people they're arguing with, give them some framework on where they want to go. And apparently they're not doing that right now.
No. And that's why I admire Trudeau. He's not perfect, but I like Trudeau. He's a decent man. And, you know, he's the younger version of a Joe Biden, as I see it.
Yeah, he is very much that way.
Yeah.
And he and Obama seem to work extremely well together.
Yes, and by the way, the Obama Presidential Center, they started the construction this week.
And I used to drive by that. Every time I'd drive into work at DePaul University in Chicago, when I drove, usually I took the train, but when I drove right by that place.
Well, how many years ago was that?
Oh, a long time ago. That was back in 28.
You got the 20s on your head because we were 21 years into the new century. I often slip when I mean 19 or so.
I think it was 78 through 83. And I drove right by that.
That's when Obama was in college.
Yeah, I know that.
Born in 61.
But his wife was down there playing in the streets somewhere, I think.
Yeah.
I wish I had driven by, seen her, waved, and said, I know where you're going.
She didn't even know her husband at that point, you know,
I know she didn't,
It's funny to look back and imagine how it's true with everybody.
Yeah.
And if you're in a different place at a different time, your whole life would be different.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like even meeting the person you marry. So a lot of it's by chance and by coincidence, you know?
I know a lot of people here in the city of Marion who would be scared to drive down by where that area is.
Well, it's not a very safe area from what I've heard.
It's not that
they're going to build it up. I hope they can, you know.
I don't think that it's a dangerous area. I think it's a black area, and there are a lot of white people that are afraid of black people. I don't understand why, but...
No, I've never felt that way as a group. I might be afraid of a particular individual, but I never judge people by skin color or race.
Yeah,
no.
And you shouldn't, because there are... one of the nice things about our media opening up to more and more Asians, African Americans,
Latinos,
even Indians or Native Americans, whichever you want to call them. The nice thing is it's kind of normalized.
Well, that's true. I mean, a lot of the people on MSNBC and CNN are not white anymore.
Yeah,
white males.
That's right.
As far as the commentators and the and the actual hosts of the different hours. And also, you notice an awful lot of commercials, whatever it is, it's not just white men or white women, it's people of all backgrounds.
You know, that used to annoy the heck out of me when I was at the university, and I did a lot of publications, and I was always called on the carpet if I didn't have a black, a white, an Asian, you know.
What year are you talking about for that?
That was back in the 80s and 90s.
Well, that was unusual at that time, I think. But it was slow to start.
It was in the university level, and there were a lot of tree huggers and left-wingers, libs, that thought that was important. I always thought, well, you're contriving this. But I did it, and I didn't have any problem with doing it. But
it is representative of the nation more and more now.
Yeah, and that was another problem. Sometimes if you have one white, one black, one yellow, and one red all in an ad or on a magazine cover, that is not representative of where we were at the time. We were, you'd have to have, back then, 8%, about 10% black. You'd have to have about 2% yellow. You know, I mean, it didn't really represent anything. It was just kind of a lib way, which always annoys me, kind of a lib way of getting around truth. So, anyway, I shouldn't talk against my own people that way, but it kind
well,
of...
You're no longer working there.
What did you think of the interviews with the generals yesterday?
And the Secretary of Defense. I thought they handled themselves very well, but of course the Republicans are making it out as if everything that happened in Afghanistan is all Biden, when Trump had set it up that we were going to leave earlier than Biden did. But they continue to manipulate the truth and lie.
Well, apparently Trump had demanded we be completely out by, what was it, April 15th?
May 15th,
which was way before what it ended up being.
In August, yeah.
Yeah, but he kind of did pass on all the... But, you know, every president prior to Trump also had not really helped that. Even Obama had not helped that situation.
Obama and Bush kept on keeping the wars going.
Yeah.
Joe said in 09, we learned, he told him you should get out. Obama didn't listen. We dragged it out another 10 years. And Biden has always taken that viewpoint. Now, of course, some people don't agree with him. But the fact is, you cannot win a war if you don't have the backing of the people in a way that the government can sustain itself. And we certainly spent enough money there, $2 trillion. And yet here we talk about $3.5 trillion over 10 years. It's not $3.5 trillion 1 year.
People
it's
don't know that.
It's $50 billion, half of the defense budget a year, which is $700 billion.
Yeah, people don't know that that's over 10 years.
But it is a fact. I wrote about it, not that I'm an important person, and so many other people have said it, but they generalize, $3.5 trillion at once. Well, if you think of the defense budget, $7 trillion over 10 years, if we don't even raise it, but it's bound to be raised, it'll probably be $8 or $9 trillion at the rate it's going over 10 years.
Well, Dr. Feynman, I don't want you to leave this conversation thinking that you are nobody. You are somebody to me.
I wrote about it, but how many people know this? That's all I'm saying.
Oh, me. Anyway.
So now I'm saying it on the air.
Yeah, there you go.
If anybody listens into the show, which I know some people do.
Oh, we have a good...
People do actually listen to the show, other than when the time is on. How many actually click on it and listen to it after? I wonder. I guess there's no way to know.
No, we really don't, but we've been upgraded to we used to be what they considered a 1,000 listener station. We have now been upgraded to a 10,000 listener station.
At the time, or just like look on the website after?
No, that's a general statement of how many people listen to this station in a general case. But the fact, you know, and we put on shows and call for call-ins, and for every one call-in that you get, supposedly there are 500 people listening. Well, I don't know. We must have had, during the previous 2 hours, I would guess we had 10-15 phone calls. So that's a lot
that's
of people
good.
Listening. Yeah. So yeah, we're pretty proud of our audience, and we
should be. Yeah.
We have an audience that's all over the place. I have people that absolutely hate my show, you know, my progressive life show, and that's fine. I like that they are at least thinking enough to not like what I'm saying.
So it means they're listening.
Yeah.
Either they don't agree, yeah.
And we have people that call in like last week and say how much they appreciate my show or Scott's show. Now, what do you think of Geraldo Rivera? Now, we've been trying...
Not much. I heard that. I tuned in until the end. I think he's a showboat and he's a phony in so many ways.
Well, I
didn't realize he was 78. Wow.
I didn't either. I told Scott I was going to ask you about it because Scott's been trying to get him, you know, his show supposedly is out of Cleveland, and Scott's been trying to get him on the air with him, and then he's going to reciprocate and go on the air with Geraldo.
Oh,
and,
that's good.
We've been asking our callers to call up to, I can't remember the name of the call letters of the station, but we've had several people call. Now, they admitted to one of our listeners that they had been bombarded with phone calls, and I just absolutely love that. But I told Scott I would ask you what you thought of Geraldo, because I think Geraldo's kind of a... Well, he's very politically driven.
He's an attention grabber. He
yes.
always has been for the last 50 years.
Is he a liberal or is he a
to think about. Sometimes he seems liberal, other times he seems conservative. He's unpredictable. But the thing is, he brags about things that weren't true, and he's also talking about his love life, except that kind of stuff, I think, is inappropriate. But he likes to get attention, you know. So I've paid attention to him at times, but I basically ignore him, because I think he's really more of a prima donna, and he's almost like a Donald Trump, small version. He wants to be noticed all the time. You know, and I don't particularly like people like that. But
well, yeah, I understand that.
It helps you, though, no question about that.
I was kind of a prima donna when I was younger.
Yeah, I think, yeah. You were?
Yeah, I was. I'll admit it.
I would never believe it.
I always thought that people were more concerned at how you looked than how you acted.
I definitely never felt that way. I always thought how you behave is what matters the most.
Well, my dad and mom told me that.
I should have known you back then and told you.
Well, you should have. Where were you when I needed you?
I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm going to go on. How about this whistleblower that's come out now and said that there was definite Russian interference and white supremacy?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not surprised, are you?
Oh, no, absolutely not. Matter of fact, it was totally underwhelming when I heard what he had to say. But the fact that more and more people keep coming out and saying, why do the Trump lovers, why do they not hear these things? Why do they, I assume they just
I do not
say
know. Just like
lying.
Stephanie Grisham, the former press secretary.
Yeah.
8 months, who never held a press conference.
Yeah.
She's a prima donna herself.
Yeah,
she didn't do her job. But what she's just said about Trump, the
yeah.
things she has said about how he told Putin about, I'll act tough on you for a few minutes, and also other things about, you know, about his sex life and stuff. It's just shocking, but not really surprising.
The man
has no limits. He is such an obscene human being.
Didn't she say he threw vegetables or fruit at Putin or something like that? There were some weird things that I've heard.
Yeah, but I also wonder if these people, why didn't they resign? Why didn't they speak up sooner? Everything is to make money, so she figures she'll make money. But she's the only press secretary who never held a press conference in the 8 months.
Yeah, that's
what was she
amazing.
In the job for?
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
And was she told she couldn't have a press conference? Maybe that's what was going on. Maybe.
But then, what is the point of having a press secretary?
Well,
we had disastrous ones before, of course.
But maybe was she good looking? I can't remember.
Well, she's all right, but Sarah Huckabee was a nightmare all along, and now she's running for governor of Arkansas. Can you imagine that?
Yeah. Well, her daddy.
Oh my gosh.
Her daddy was a politician, so.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is about back in the first decade of this century, when he was the governor of Arkansas. I would say I thought, not too bad. He seemed like a moderate Republican. You know, wasn't bad. He's gone off the deep end completely. He is a real loony now. He really has become more and more lunatic over the years. Maybe it's a sign of dementia. I don't know what it is. Look at Giuliani. He was once a respected mayor, although he had controversies anyway. And look what he's done. He's degraded himself to such an extent.
It's amazing. Well, and it wasn't Mr. Huckabee, wasn't he an evangelista? I mean, he was very involved in religion all of his
life. More now than when he was governor. He's really promoted it, and he's taped shows about American history, which distort history. I mean, the guy is really a nightmare, and his daughter is a nightmare, but she could be, because of the name and the connection, could be the next governor. Oh, my God, I'll tell you. It's just because Arkansas is no longer a Bill Clinton kind of state, so it's likely going to, if she's nominated, and she has the edge, she probably will win the election.
Well, and name power is so important to getting the vote for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know why it hasn't helped me, because I've always joked I'm a fine man, different spelling, though.
I didn't have anything good like that to say about my name. I used to tell people, my name is Coble, like Noble, only with a C. That didn't sway any votes.
I think it's a classy name, actually, Glenn Coble.
Well, aren't you kind, aren't you?
I do think so.
Well, now, my Quaker family name was Mendenhall, and if you will look back in history, you will find out that Mr. Nixon was a Mendenhall.
Well, Nixon was a Quaker, yes.
Yeah.
And so was Herbert Hoover.
And therefore, my family and Nixon were related, from what I understand. Yeah.
Related to Herbert Hoover also?
No.
So it's interesting. Hoover was a smart guy, but he had the depression with him. With Nixon, we know what happened. So the two people who were Quakers, I joke, I said, considering the Quaker faith, why did it have to be these two Quakers who became presidents?
Yeah, kind of interesting, yeah. they don't seem Quakerish.
Well, actually, Hoover was anti-war.
Yes.
He was a pacifist in office, which was often criticized that he didn't see the real threat of fascism, and he actually was against us considering getting involved in World War II until Pearl Harbor. He was a member of the America First Committee in 1940-41, made speeches saying, stay out of war, what's going on in Europe doesn't matter, and we shouldn't get involved in Japan against China. So he was a pacifist, and then, of course, obviously, he supported the war once Pearl Harbor occurred, so some people have criticized him as being too pacifist.
Well, war seems to be an elixir that something that draws certain types of people to it.
Yes.
People love war. There are people that absolutely love war. I am one of those that my mother and I talked about me being a conscientious objector for a while.
When you were a kid?
When I was in my teens, yeah.
Yet you joined the military.
Well, yeah, but I joined the United States Army Field Band. And I knew I had pre-cut orders when I went to basic training. I knew I was not going to Vietnam. I was going to Washington, D.C.
So you had an ulterior motive.
yeah. And so, therefore, I'm probably a hypocrite.
I was in graduate school going for my master's and doctorate, and as long as you were a full-time student, you kept on getting a deferment.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to do it, but, I mean, it also was convenient.
Well, and I kind of was that way. I stayed in school as long as they'd let me. But it got to be a point, if you don't go to class, you're not supposed to come to school, right?
Yeah.
So, and I didn't go to class. Hey, what are we going to do? Here's the other one. What are we going to do about our immigration problems?
The DACA thing has to be resolved. I mean, really.
Yeah.
We need immigrants anyway. We can vet immigrants as they come in, but we need immigrants. The population, as far as the people in this country, the birth rate is down. We need more people for the future of the country, and this is a country that benefits from immigration, but of course you have to check people out. I understand that.
Yeah.
And the border issue is a big one, but this whole issue with Haiti, with sending people back to Haiti who have not been in Haiti for 10 years, that is not right. And what happened with that particular agent who was on horseback, that is outrageous, and I'm glad Joe Biden spoke up against it, but he caused them alienation for many groups because of that. His ratings have gone below 50% now, but I think it's temporary, but a lot depends on what happens now with these, you know, with these two pieces of legislation.
Yes.
But I also think the debt ceiling issue is horrendous, but it's going to have to be raised with or without the Republicans being involved in it. It may not be politically popular, but it's going to have to be because it's past debt. It is nothing, and of course, the past debt includes all the money, $2-3 trillion given to wealthy people and corporations in 2017. He's had the biggest increase in the national debt, Trump, of any president.
Well, yeah, you know, I just can't understand why we even have that rule. If you're going
to
raise it every time, why even have it? Now, they're talking about putting it in the Build Back Better bill, or was it the other one?
Yeah.
One of the two. And maybe a good answer, I don't know. That's an answer maybe that has an alternative motive in that it might get the people we need to vote for it to vote for it. I don't know.
Our whole system, like you brought up the issue, is that will we be a democracy in 10 years? It's very worrisome, because some people compare us to the Weimar Republic in Germany, bickering and fighting with the so-called social democrats, the liberals, and then it led to Hitler. So it makes you wonder whether it's Trump or somebody like DeSantis or someone else, or Ted Cruz, who I'm really more afraid of than anybody, or Rand Paul. You know, we really have to worry about what's going to happen in the next two elections and beyond.
Right.
And we need to restore the right to vote, you know, to guarantee it to everybody. There is no excuse for it. And I pointed out yesterday in my blog, The Progressive Professor, automatic mail ballots should be sent by all states to all voters as a national law to ensure voting rights. Right now, 9 states do send mail ballots automatically: California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, New Jersey, Oregon, Utah, Vermont, and Washington State, and also Washington, D.C. The only thing is, the only state that was Republican is Utah, the Mormon state. They do that, but all the others are Democratic states. But why do people have to necessarily show up in person? Why can't they do it by mail ballot?
I
don't understand. So we need to restore that, because we have the Voting Rights Act that's been cut back by the courts, and we have constitutional amendments, 5 of them that deal with voting rights, 15 as far as race, 19 as far as gender, 23 and 24 involving Washington, D.C., and poll taxes, and 26, which is the young people. And now we're having a cutback by Republicans, you know, and that's just not right, what's going on.
Now, I've lost where I was going with this.
I overwhelmed you, huh?
Yeah, you did. Well, one of the reasons why I asked the question in my little ad for our show, will we be a democracy in 10 years, is not to scare people. I think it's to challenge people to work toward a goal of continuing to be a democracy. But, you know, it is scary. Because,
yes, it is,
because
very much so.
It could turn into the Weimar Republic or whatever.
Which then was overthrown by Nazism.
Yeah, right. And
the thing is, even if it's not Trump, there are too many people willing to follow Trump that are younger versions, like DeSantis, thinks he's a mini-Trump. And I think he's very, very worrisome. I think he's a threat to the country, really, and a threat to the state of Florida.
Well, we've always...
Instead of having the recall in California, he should be able to be recalled, but there's no such provision.
Well, we've always had scary figures in
demagogues, yes.
But we seem to have a much bigger percentage of that, and they are so in lockstep. I just don't understand why. I know why the Democrats are in lockstep, because that's the only way they can get anything done. But the Republicans seem to be in lockstep because they don't want anything done. It just seems that way to me. I don't know.
No, and they're only there for the wealthy and the privileged.
It does seem that way.
And
right
the
now.
Governors, so many governors, I think, are criminal in what they're doing on the COVID-19, really.
You know, a lot of people think this is just the lib in me and the tree hugger in me, but love's a lot better than war.
Of course.
And I don't know why we haven't figured that out. Hey, we're getting down to, we got less than two minutes, about a minute and three quarters left to go. Is there anything we need to talk about before you get off the air?
Okay. Well, I've been writing about the Senate, that soon 3 members of the Senate will be 3 of the 8 longest serving in Senate history.
Oh, tell
Patrick
us.
Patrick Leahy is probably going to run again, and if he does, he will pass. He's going to pass Senator Ted Kennedy in October for total service, and then if he has another term, he could serve 54 years, and he would be 88 by the end of 2028. And Chuck Grassley of Iowa has announced he's running when he's 88 years old for another term. He'd be 95
like
at the end. of the next term. And Mitch McConnell is going to be there until at least 84 if he lives to 2026, and he would be one of the 8 longest serving senators. So we have 3 senators right now who are in the top 8 senators of all time. And I would argue there needs to be some kind of an age limit where I think after a certain age, like 80 or something, people should not be running for office, because we also have in the House of Representatives like 50 House members who will be past 80 by 2026, including the 3 Democratic leaders, Pelosi, Hoyer, and Clyburn. And I think they can contribute, but it's getting to the point of people staying much too long into their 90s.
Yeah. Well, we're down to the last for 10 seconds, so I got to say goodbye to you, but have a great day.
Thanks so much. See you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
This is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for the latest news in politics. From Scott Spears at the 2016...